So all these ideas about developing jhana and sila first and samadhi later, all this comes from not understanding the moment.
Mm-hmm. Because the there are moment. Not just 5 or 10 or 222 sikkhapada. It includes also the indriya sangvara sila, which is higher than just 5 precepts or 10.
So until and unless there is considering the present moment, whatever we hear about Dhamma is just a lot of theories, and we try to manipulate those theories and have ideas about what might need to be done.
Little by little.
So while my question may not be fully right.
Until it's one's own understanding,
yes. Okay.
By considering, for example, what is sila, we have always come back down to the root. Otherwise, we think that we understand all, even the word sila. If we think that at this moment, is it sila or bhavana or what? Kusala citta, of what level is thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sila.
What is sila?
Please morality. Me.
Morality. Yeah. In what is morality? Again.
Say, can you say more? Kusala.
Kusala moment without lobha dosa moha.
Sometimes described as restraint from wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
Sinha.
Depending, it's kusala moment, which condition, what kind of action or speech, or none at all, like now.
Right.
At moment of understanding reality, can we say that there is no sila?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, there
yeah.
is sila.
Mm-hmm. So we have to understand reality, not just the word, just know about 5 sila only.
It's possible to understand it on different levels. So
mm-hmm.
at the conventional level, it's
mm-hmm.
not taking life or not taking other people's property, that sort of thing. But what
precepts,
Ajahn's saying
yeah.
is that when there's development of understanding,
yes.
that's a moment of
higher level
sila.
Sila. Yeah.
If you're just concerned about keeping sila without understanding, you cannot
yeah.
reach that perfection.
Because when there's no sila at that moment, thinking that it's a rule, but actually it's not. It has to be kusala citta at any time.
Well, one, for instance, keeps the precepts and say, not killing. I'm talking about on the conventional level.
Restraining
exactly.
from killing an
restraining
ant.
Restraining from killing
a lot
ant.
Of them,
yeah.
too.
I guess my question is, there is a moment of sila in the restraining, but not necessarily.
Understanding.
Yes, a moment of sila at a higher level. With the alopa dosa amoha.
We better know moment which is kusala and moment
yes.
which is akusala at that moment. When it's kusala, it can condition this like dana and helping the others.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to call it sila?
No.
Or dana?
No.
Yeah?
I guess I view those as almost universals. Because it's not peculiar to Buddhism or,
mm-hmm.
and it's just better for life if there's those. So the understanding of reality just isn't present. It's just a better way for everybody.
Jonathan mentioned the example of not taking another's property. Usually we say when there's stealing, you don't want to hurt some person by taking their property. So it always relates to taking from someone, but it seems there can also be stealing or taking which of something that doesn't belong to someone.
Like what?
Like
ideas?
Maybe picking the flowers in the
forest?
Public square in
oh,
the
okay.
city
oh,
or something
okay.
like this.
Okay. Forest or park or
somewhere where it's forest. Not allowed. Somewhere
it depends.
Where, yes,
yeah. When it's not allowed.
Yes,
then it's akusala to that degree that it can take
yes.
the public's property.
Yeah. Yes, so it's not necessarily an individual's. It may be the government's or the country's or property or something
I
like
that. I
see
that it depends on citta at that very moment, whether it's strong enough to take that which doesn't belong to you.
The point was that one may say that the property isn't the object for abstaining, it's the person you don't want to hurt, but stealing doesn't necessarily imply hurting
yes,
a person.
Yes, it hurts when it's not yours and it belongs to someone.
Yes,
okay.
Even if the someone is a big or broad or public.
Yeah.
Or, yes.
There is an incident at home where there's a public park
with beautiful fruit trees, and it says don't take the plants or the fruit, but the fruit just falls on the ground and rots.
Is it allowed to take the fallen fruit?
No, there's a sign that clearly says do not take.
What about the fallen fruit?
Do not take.
Yes.
But it just falls on the ground and rots.
But that's part of the cycle of the tree to feed it.
Maybe they need it to plant.
Maybe.
Need it, no.
Very hard.
Maybe they need it so someone gets a job to run around.
You mean you're scoffing the fruit that's
I have in the past. Well, before I read the sign, and I read sign and...
Jetana.
You could always ask if it's allowed, and they might say yes.
It just seems a very big waste.
Are you trying to judge or trying to understand reality at that moment, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome?
Trying to judge. I think it's stealing, because it says don't take the fruit.
What about a citta?
The citta would be unwholesome if just taken.
That's enough?
Yeah.
Who cares about the rest or something?
Yeah, the rest is a big story.
Many levels of this, I think, somewhere in the suttas, there is this monk who smells, I think it was a lotus, the fragrance of a lotus.
The smell thief.
A deva is aware of that, I think he was. And the deva expresses in verse that as somebody gone forth as a monk, you should not even do that.
But that's a monk.
That's a monk.
And what about a citta?
That was more about sensual indulgence than breach of the precept, though.
So these akusala go with you from life to life in condition.
And adding more.
It's similar to the term karma.
Karma is the cetasika, the mental factor which has the function of intending to do something wrong or right. Or it can be vipaka arising with the resultant citta or kriya citta, because cetana cetasika arises each moment with each type of citta.
Sometimes we say it's different for the monks, and I've heard you say because a monk has the intention to end all defilements.
To see even the very weak akusala.
But couldn't we say it's the same for anyone who sees the value of developing understanding? Right. So how is it different for the monk than for
the apathy for monk, but not apathy
for lay people. But still there can be the same.
The
citta is the same. Seeing the value of ending all defilements is the same for any understanding.
Akusala is akusala. It doesn't belong to anyone. Yes.
But things like the monk is supposed to only eat what is offered to him does not apply to a layperson.
This is the difference between monk and layperson.
We were talking yesterday about how actually Sambhaga refers to virya with panya, so sometimes some of these terms refer to more than one cetasika. Appamada, heedfulness, like when the Buddha says, carry on with heedfulness, appamada. Does it just refer to sati or any other cetasika, or just sati with panya?
Sati and other cetasikas arise together, so we don't try to separate.
Okay.
But the function is the function of sati.
And can one say in that sense it's the same as guarding or samvara or not?
Whenever sati arises, it is wholesome citta. Mm-hmm.
And it always has the function of guarding at that moment.
It depends on what you say, what you think about it. Mm-hmm. But it's that which arises with wholesome cetasikas. Mm-hmm. And in the sense of being a guard,
When sense objects arise.
And there is sati at that very moment.
So two particular examples of sati. Can one refer to all sati as being appamada or heedfulness?
Mm-hmm.
What about sati arising with bhavanga cittas?
Not to have akusala arising.
Even at those moments?
I think that depending on chatti as well, when we use this term, we mean just
kusala.
Not necessary to think about
vipaka.
Did you say sati arising with bhavanga cittas?
Mm-hmm.
And this vipaka. You are born with vipaka, patisamnichita with bhavanga cittas. Then you have sati.
But sati doesn't arise with patisamnichita.
Yes, as vipaka, as a result of karma. Yes, and other sobhana cittas. Aloba, Adosa, also Panya. You can be born with Panya. But it's Vipaka, you see.
The one that changes it.
The life continuum, the one that arises all the time, except when there are sensed or impressions or processed, it is through the mind.
Does it arise now, Bawanka?
That's what they're telling me.
It's no. Very good because it's Bawanga Jitta that we don't know anything about, and there's just sense door processes happening.
Interrupting
the Bawanga stream.
Only that.
Oh, okay. That's a lovely expression.
Isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sense door processes interrupting
the stream of
Bawanga
Jittas.
That's all. Yeah. Very short moment of attachment to object which appear, that's all.
Yes.
And then Bawanga again.
I was thinking about that when Glenn asked his question about something or nothing, because nothing, then something, and then nothing again.
Right. I thought you said Bawanga's dream, and I thought, well, that's not far off either.
Dream is thinking.
Yes.
Yeah, not Bawanga.
Yes.
In deep sleep, just Bawanga.
Yes.
So it's good to think about something and nothing.
Nothing and then something through a sense door process.
So the Bawanga is the...
Nothing.
Nothing.
No sense impressions.
No sense impressions or
no
thinking.
No thinking.
Well, that would be sleeping.
No object of this world appearing.
That would be sleeping, but otherwise...
Deep sleep and in between the processes, like in between seeing process
and hearing
process
now.
Hearing, yes.
That requires a lot of Panya.
Tell me a little bit about the Buddha's enlightenment, how that came to be.
The understanding reality rests now thoroughly, completely.
But the moment before?
The development of understanding.
And this was because of study or consideration or...
We have different thinking, right? When one is attached to something, at that moment it's only attachment. But for the Buddha to be in previous lives before becoming enlightened, whatever is the object of attachment, he really wants to know the true nature of it, to know more and more about everything which appears.
So in the previous life, he had already attained some level of enlightenment?
No, just ready to become Buddha by different kinds of virtues, all kinds, 10 parami, 10 perfections, in order to become Buddha. May I ask whether the Buddha's seeing is exactly the same like other people's seeing, just the seeing itself?
Well, from the teachings that I'm hearing here, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Because seeing is seeing. Mm-hmm. And we don't know anything about seeing, but Buddha had enlightened the truth of all there. The eye base and the visible object and the citta which experience it. What is the world is known completely. And that which is not the world also known by him. That which doesn't arise and doesn't fall away. The end of the arising and falling away of realities.
And from that point he began teaching?
Yes. Because it's not just for him alone. He has great compassion to share and to help the others to know as him know.
But he did have a moment of hesitation because what he discovered was so deep. He realized that it was so deep, so different from every other kind of teaching ever. That he hesitated for a moment.
Would you like to know more about realities that he taught us to know?
Not this morning, but I will study.
Because there always be the unknown realities around us each day.
Meaning the ones that are experienced.
Just heard about like Patithanna, Samudrana, Chavana and Kusala and Akusala, see? Arising and passing away all the time.
These can be experienced? Or?
It depends on the individual's accumulation, no expectation.
Why is it that we take there to be so much kusala when in fact there's so much akusala?
What akusala you take for kusala?
Well, possibly it would be more correct to say akusala we take for neutral, even though, as I understand it, there's no neutral. What follows the seeing and hearing as we go through the day? I don't think we appreciate that as being our kusala.
like after seeing, when there is just the defining of the glass, even if it's not a beautiful glass, then usually there's lobha immediately. Well, that's not even immediately afterwards, but even when there's thinking about the glass.
There is no dana, no sila, no bhavana.
It's akusala.
Akusala, yeah.
An attachment coming in straight away.
When the distinction between seeing and thinking is not known yet, how can there be the understanding of akusala which follows the seeing?
Before there's glass.
The thinking of the glass is not seeing.
No.
And before that thinking, there is akusala. So as long as there is no understanding of the distinction between seeing and thinking, how can one know about the akusala, which follows so fast?
If there's no awareness of seeing, no awareness of thinking, then there'd be no idea ever of
the akusala. But not yet the first stage of insight, so then we cannot know that, I think, the difference between seeing and thinking. We don't know yet what nama is, different from rupa, so we don't know yet the difference between citta and cetasika.
The considering about seeing and thinking that they are different should be known or understood before the moment of directly understanding.
Otherwise, if there's not a beginning to know now, how will there ever be any higher insight at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But not clearly, I think.
Right.
We cannot know it clearly yet.
Like Kunjunatan just said, how can there be a kusala follows the seeing, see? Even the seeing and the thinking is not understood yet, as there are different reality, different moments. So how can there be the understanding of akusala, which follow the seeing before there can be the arising thinking?
In the same process.
As far as is there.
The jhāvana citta.
So only paññā can know what is there. We talk about ignorance, we look for it, where is it, but it's now. At moment of not knowing reality
as it is. What that looking? Why are we so concerned about whether it's akusala or akusala?
I think that we cannot help having it, but there can be the development of understanding it, to know that there is moment with ignorance already as soon as whatever appears. And that can be eliminated by more and more understanding. It does mean that it's hopeless. But we can see the difference between paññā, understanding, and ignorance. And when paññā develops, it can understand better and better, more direct. For example, right now it seems like there is seeing, but what about thinking which follows? No attention to the visible object which appears at all. So how can there be the understanding of that which can appear as an element? No one there in the visible object, if there is no thinking. But since thinking follows, it seems like one sees someone, something all the time. And this is the difference between avicca, ignorance, and paññā, understanding. So if we talk about the path or the middle path without the understanding about each reality, it's impossible to have awareness of anyone.
So back to the original question of Lodovic's about the middle path. So really the understanding of the middle path or the middle way just comes back to the understanding of realities now. That's it. Not at another place or time. So that's why it has to go along with the understanding of anatta and the conditioned dharmas to refer to the middle way.
So if someone would say the Eightfold Path are samadhi and so forth, it's only name.
And then right thinking is translated by right intention.
Not so clear,